Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Folks, welcome in to Pickaxe and Roll, brought to you by our good friends over at Superbook Sports. I am your host, Ryan Blackburn, at NBA Blackburn on Twitter, part of the Mile High Sports Podcast Network, and I am excited to talk about last night's Denver Nuggets win as the Nuggets defeat the Atlanta Hawks. Final score, 142-110, a great score for Denver. One of their only times that they've gotten over 140 this season. Really exciting to see Denver play the way that they did. And it's one of those things that, like, hey, you're just excited to be a part of it if you're a Nuggets fan. We are changing up the schedule just a little bit. I know that folks were excited about Weekends with Swipa. That is happening tomorrow. Weekends with Swipa is going to be a full show. It's going to be a full NBA awards show tomorrow. We will get to that in just a second over the course of a couple days. But Swipa had a thing that popped up earlier today, so wanted to give him the time to be able to get that done. And we will get back to you tomorrow on that front. But should be a lot of fun. We'll go over MVP. We'll go over All NBA. We'll go over Most Improved Defensive Player of the Year, Clutch Player of the Year, things like that. We've got a lot of stuff coming up for that show, and maybe some interesting other things as well. But should be really good. Really excited for it. I am always looking forward to talking with my guy Swipa. All right, let's get into last night's game. Really appreciate everybody for stopping by. If you're watching on Twitter, on the Mile High Sports Twitter, pop over to YouTube at some point and give that a like and subscribe. Would really appreciate it. Both mediums help, obviously, but would obviously love to have as many people in the YouTube chat as possible commenting along, sharing their thoughts. Always like to make this interactive if I can. But if you're watching on YouTube, thank you so much. Hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. Would greatly appreciate it. All right, let's get into the show. This is not going to be as crazy as a normal recap, just because this last game was so standard. This was a standard blowout. This was a late season Atlanta Hawks, not as good as Denver Nuggets kind of game where it was very clear from the get-go that the Nuggets were going to win, and they won every quarter. They won the first quarter by 7, they won the second quarter by 6, they won the third quarter by 12, and they won the fourth quarter by 7. It was standard. Denver did not have to play excellent, and they did. They still did. They still played a pretty strong game, and it was nice to see them put it all together. And it was nice to see them do it with Jamal Murray back in the lineup. That's the big thing that everybody's got to know. Everybody's got to understand. Jamal Murray back in the lineup, and he played, I thought he played pretty good. I wouldn't say he played fantastic. I thought that there were some things, like some reads that he was slow to make, but that's one of those things where you're not really surprised about it in any way, shape, or form because he's going to be rusty coming back after missing 7 games. But 21 minutes, Jamal Murray goes for 16 points, 6 assists, 6 of 11 from the field, 2 of 4 from 3. Ultimately shot a pretty efficient percentage. Did have 3 turnovers, but not as worried about that. I thought his defense in the first half was much better than his defense in the second half. Moving a little bit better in the first half. Wonder if he got a little bit tired out, but there's plenty of time to sort of fix that over the course of many days. And Denver's got an off day today. They're practicing tomorrow for the first time in forever. Going to be interesting to see like how he continues to look physically and whether he can carry that heavy minutes load heading into the playoffs. Nikola Jokic, probably the next guy we should talk about. Pretty good. 19 points, 14 rebounds, 11 assists. Did have a couple of steals as well. Started off this game, I thought, pretty meh. 2 of 7 from the field in the first half, but then shot 4 of 6 from the field, including making a 3 in the second. Got to the line multiple times. 19 points, like I said, but he had 10 points and 6 assists in the third quarter alone. Denver scores 42 in the third quarter themselves. And it was just so clear at that point that the Nuggets, like, they were going to break it open. And Jokic was at the center of everything there. He had a couple of nice defensive plays. He had a couple of great offensive sequences, including one where he hit a floater off of a behind the back from Justin Holiday. A great play from Justin Holiday. Just really nice to see him put some good plays together. He is a guy, Justin Holiday, and we'll get to him in the second segment more. I trust Justin Holiday a lot. I think that Michael Malone trusts Justin Holiday a lot. And when it gets down to it in a playoff setting, I think you're going to see Justin Holiday play for sure. But Jokic, I thought he was kind of shaky. Not shaky. I think he let a couple of bad plays sort of affect his first quarter effort. Figured some stuff out in the second quarter, and then really kicked it into third gear, even fourth gear in the third quarter, and I thought played a great brand of basketball. There's a stat going around, I don't know if you guys saw it, I retweeted it just a little bit ago, that the Denver Nuggets, and Nikola Jokic, a couple years ago, first player in NBA history with 2,000 points, 1,000 rebounds, 500 assists. If you know anything about me, that's sort of where I get part of my claim to fame, is from a sort of bringing that stat to light in a lot of ways, putting it into the public eye. And Jokic is on the borderline of doing it again. Now, he's probably not going to get it. And we kind of thought that the rebounding might be an issue. I talked about this, I want to say a couple weeks ago or so. He's 21 points and 70 rebounds away from doing it again. Even if he gets 20 rebounds in one of the next 4 games, he'll still have to get 50 in the final 3. That is a tall task. It means he has to average 17.5 rebounds per game over 4 games going forward. And I don't think he's going to do that. I seriously don't. I would be shocked if he did it. But the fact that he's even close should show you just how amazing his skill set is, but also how healthy and available and engaged he has been during the season, where he's going to win a third MVP. The odds are so far in his favor that it would be less surprising that he won it unanimously than if he didn't win it at all. He's in a great place overall, and like a couple of times the long jumper the three-point shot has actually been solid. The two-point shot, the long two, has been a little bit of a weakness for him this season. I wonder if part of that is because he's taking a lot of grenades. He's taking a lot of late shot clock shots. He did have a Sombor shuffle in this last game yesterday, but he made it. But he also had a couple late shot clock shots from the same zone that he missed. So I wonder if that's sort of affecting his efficiency a little bit. He's had a little bit of an efficiency drop off since last year, but overall he's been great, and it just feels like he is moving towards another MVP, which, as we've talked about on this show before, if that happens, then good Lord, like there's no stopping the upward trajectory of this man. He is going to be a top 10 player of all time if that happens. And then, like, you add in a ring or two, you just never know where it could go. You never know where it could stop. Michael Porter Jr., One of my pet peeves with Michael Porter is that he gives up at least one and one every single game. Last night he gave up two. It didn't matter because Denver scored 142 points, but I thought it was interesting. He also got into foul trouble, and Matt Moore, who was sitting next to me, he was asking, hey, do you think that there is any correlation between him starting at power forward tonight, actually it was last night, and getting into foul trouble? And I don't think that there was. I don't think that there was anything in particular that really stands out with that, but it is interesting. At least, hey, Aaron Gordon sits. Michael Porter has to move to the four. Maybe he's the low man a little bit more frequently, somebody who has a little bit more defensive pressure put onto him because Aaron Gordon isn't taking on certain assignments. I don't know if that was it. I think this was more random than anything, but Porter came back in during the fourth quarter, hit a couple threes in a good rhythm, had kind of missed a little bit earlier on, but finishes with 20 points, 7 of 12 from the field, 4 of 8 from 3, couple assists, one steal. I do think the passing leap that some have mentioned, I think that's a little bit overstated just in general with him, but I do think there are some reads that are coming a little bit more naturally to him now, which is just like the steady minimal progression that you're hoping for from a player type of his. Like, people aren't asking him to pass the ball. Nobody should be asking him to be like consistently looking for other people when he is as lethal as he is. It's just like usually the decision-making tree starts with Murray, who had 6 assists, or Jokic, who had 11. So not really worried about Porter passing the ball, and nobody else really should be either. Like, it's not at the top of my list. Christian Brown started in place of Aaron Gordon last night. I thought Christian did a pretty good job defensively. Not a loud game from him by any stretch of the word. He made his only 3-point attempt, which was good. But was good to see him find some ways to be strong defensively, both against DeAndre Hunter and Jalen Johnson. Also had some possessions against DeJounte Murray. DeJounte Murray last night, minus 27. Denver did a really good job against him, especially in that third quarter. Jalen Johnson on the other side, by the way, for Atlanta, really good. Like, he is a really, really impressive player and somebody who, like, I don't know what Atlanta is going to do in the future. They're the team that is most in purgatory of pretty much any team I can remember, but they are not good enough to really make a splash with the current group that they have. But I wonder if they retooled around Jalen Johnson and one of Trae Young or DeJounte Murray, then they might be able to figure out a way to win some more games, because right now the plan is not good. But Jalen Johnson to me strikes me as a player who is going to, he's going to get up to 20 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists very consistently throughout his career. And he'll be a borderline all-star. All right. Tell you what, let's take a break. When we come back, we are going to talk about KCP, who actually led the team in scoring, led both teams in scoring, as well as the bench unit. Both the bench unit was great, surprisingly great last night, and I think really helped out the Nuggets for sure. But first, this podcast, as you know, is brought to you by our good friends over at Superbook Sports, the most well-known name for sports gambling and with a direct line to Las Vegas. And you can use their promo code MILEHIGH to score up to $250 with their first bet bonus. Win or lose, Superbook will match your first bet up to $250 with promo code MILEHIGH. Download the Superbook Sports app, enter the promo code, and you'll get $250, courtesy of Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. We'll be right back on Pickaxe and Roll. And we're back. Pickaxe and Roll. Ryan Blackburn here. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. Always appreciate the love and support on the podcast. If you're watching on Twitter, thank you so much. Make sure to like and share that out if you can to anybody that's on that platform. But if you can, if you're on YouTube, please rate, review, and subscribe on there. The audio side would be great as well. Try to put this out to as many people as possible, and I think we do a good job of doing so. All right, let's get back to it. KCP deserves a ton of credit. He's been great for Denver over the course of these last few games. 24 points last night, 9 of 12 from the field, 6 of 9 from 3, couple steals, really good defensive plays, just in his bag, absolutely. And he's now above 40% from 3 once again on the season. He was a little bit below it at various points throughout the year and had gone through a couple of slumps, but he has worked his way out of it completely and has had now multiple games of going 6 of 9 from the field, which is great to see. But 9 of 12 from the field means he went 3 of 3 from the two-point line as well, or inside the arc. And just nice to see him attacking and finishing well, finishing efficiently. There are a couple times where he's curling off of screens and getting into the lane and finishing over the top of a defender. That's great to see. That's a layer that you're not necessarily expecting from him. But those are the kind of points that if you get them during the course of a game, then they could actually win it because opposing team is going to give that up. They just have to. There's no way that they can account for all of it. So really excited to see that for sure. Cedric asks, what's the outlook for AG coming back? AG is just banged up. He needs rest on his body. It would not surprise me in the slightest if he sits out the front end of the back-to-back against Utah and then comes back for the back end of the back-to-back against Minnesota. I'll talk about that more in the third segment, but AG's okay. He just needs some time to recover his body physically. And there was no need to play him against Atlanta. They knew that they could get it done without him. But yeah, KCP, great game from him. Just really nice to see him put together something like that. And I'm hopeful, if I'm the Nuggets, that that is another layer that as Jamal Murray sort of works his way back, you can run pick and roll with Jamal, but then if the team sort of, or if the opposing defense sort of overreacts to that, then you rotate the ball over, you go to KCP on the weak side, and he comes up with another opportunity to create either an open jumper or something else. Should be, like, it makes a lot of sense. Denver's offense, really tough to stop. Okay, but we should talk about the bench now. Bench was really, really good. All the plus minuses last night were in the plus. Zeke Nnaji was the lowest of the bench guys that played regular minutes at plus 6. Peyton Watson at plus 16. Justin Holiday at plus 17. Reggie Jackson at plus 11. Julian Strother at plus 7. I will say, so Strother, he definitely benefited from the garbage time because he came back in and was plus 7 there. So he was actually, I think, net neutral at that point. I think that there are some things with Strother that I am still a little bit hesitant about in general, just because I kind of understand what his player type is going to be. And Denver does need the scoring, but I'm not sure they needed it at the expense of efficiency and playmaking and defense, like, which I think, and not playmaking necessarily, because I think Strother, he's got his head up a little bit, and there are some good things that I think he can, like, that I think he can really do, but I'm still sort of waiting. I want to see what his skill set is going to look like going forward. But the entire bench deserves a ton of credit. Deserves a ton of credit for sure. I think that the most impressive guy last night was Reggie Jackson. And I wasn't expecting that. Like, Michael Malone pregame was hesitant as to whether Reggie Jackson was going to play. And then he was active, and then he came onto the floor with a full-on, like, surgical mask on. Like, he was like a COVID mask. He was trying to prevent anybody else from getting sick. And was nice to see him be out there. And, like, it was just like, hey, maybe you should get sick more often, because he had 18 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. I thought played a really good brand of basketball. And the shots that he missed, okay, those are fine. Not necessarily worried about them, but he shot 7 of 13 and 3 of 6 from 3. That's an efficient night. That's really impressive. And then 3 assists to 1 turnover. Just playing a nice, efficient brand of basketball. Was a plus 11 last night. Really excited for that, because Reggie has, he's taken a lot of abuse. And I think that there is, like, there's enough in his game that I know it frustrates me. But also in general, like, there are reasons why fans are a little bit, like, hesitant, for sure. Or, like, a little bit against him in some ways because of the style of play that he has. It is just a little bit too much for some folks. And Dejan says it here. RJ was still dribbling too much. I agree. I think that one of the things I notice is that just not a ton of opportunities for other guys to create. Peyton Watson did go 6 of 8, although some of that was with the starters. Zeke Nagy, only 3 shots while he was out there. Justin Holiday, only 3 shots while he was out there, despite going 3 of 3. And then Strother, only 4 shots. So the ball's definitely in Reggie's hands a lot. He's self-creating a lot. And I definitely think that there are reasons to want a more facilitating point guard out there. But it's also not the worst thing in the world to have somebody that's willing to take the shots, because oftentimes, especially when Christian's out there, the ball gets passed around the perimeter a little bit. People try to probe, try to get into the paint, nothing really doing. And then the ball finds itself back to Reggie with 5 seconds on the shot clock anyway. And he's like, oh shit, I guess I got to do something about this now. So at some point you need, like, you do need somebody who's willing to do that. But you don't need it as much in the playoffs, where Jamal's going to be out there, where Nicole is going to be out there, where those guys are going to be on the floor a ton. But yeah, still, like, really appreciate Reggie gutting it out, because, like, that's a tough, tough thing to have to play through. And maybe he should have stayed home, because if he had to wear a surgical mask, then, like, you probably shouldn't be around the guys on the bench. But he actually sat on the ground during his bench stints, was away from the, especially at the end of the game, was away from the team. And hopefully he gets better. The last thing the Nuggets need right now is a sickness going through the locker room. But hey, Justin Holiday, I think, deserves a ton of credit. Peyton Watson deserves a ton of credit. Those guys were great. Let's start with Peyton Watson. 13 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 5 blocks. That is a line. That is a line for a basketball game. Peyton Watson, 6 of 8 from the field, 0 of 1 from 3. It's been a little bit since he's hit threes. I think he's kind of reverting back to early season, like before the December shooting run, Peyton Watson. He's very up and down, very hot and cold with that. The good thing, though, is that he can be aggressive enough in those other opportunities that he doesn't always have to spot up from behind the arc. He can be good without that. And I tend to think that his defense, as long as he is consistently rebounding, the defense is good enough that you have to keep him out there. And then you add the offense in there. Like, look, there are plenty of reasons to be excited about what he can do. It is the Atlanta Hawks. You don't ever want to get too overly excited, but it was just a really good game. Just a really good performance from him, and one that deserves praise. Plus 16, nearly led the, like, not really. Like, KCP led the team in plus minus at plus 21, but Peyton was out there for a lot of it and deserves a ton of credit. And then Justin Holiday, just a really, really awesome, really, really awesome game for Justin Holiday. One that I think that is going to go under the radar. 24 minutes, 8 points, 3 of 3 from the field, 2 of 2 from 3. One of those threes falling out of bounds. Just like a ball kind of got lost when he was trying to run a DHO with somebody. Dribbles it, goes through some other defender's legs. He collects it, falls out of bounds, hits a 3. Because he can, because he's awesome. 6 assists, 1 steal. The 6 assists were great because one of the key things for a team like Denver is when you don't have a ton of initiators, it's mostly Jamal, Nikola, and Reggie. Those are the 3 guys that are mostly going to get the assist. When you can find another option that can set people up, it's going to be good, going to feel good. And that was he had multiple times where he was looking and actively looking for guys. Dejan mentions a nice assist from Julian to Justin for three. Nice play from Julian. And then it actually went back the other way too, where there was a run in the second quarter that Denver had that began with the Justin wraparound assist to Zeke Nnaji under the basket for a dunk. Then Peyton Watson blocks a shot on the other end. Ball gets hit ahead to Justin Holiday. And rather than attack, Justin seeks out Julian Strother, pays him back with a nice little shovel pass for a three that Julian hits in transition. Julian's only make of the night, but it was a big one. And that prompted a timeout from the Atlanta Hawks, was a nice sort of momentum play for Denver, and just really exciting to see the bench find that. And like, you think about the guys that were out there. You have Reggie, Justin, and Julian, three solid shooters. Like, I know that Reggie's not shooting the best percentage, but he is a guy who's willing to take shots. And then Julian, he's also, like, the three-point percentage with him is also not very good. Like, it's at close to 30%, where you think, like, based off of how he looks, it should be higher. But he's a guy that's willing to shoot it. And then Justin, same thing. I can look at all three of those guys and be like, okay, this is interesting. This is something that, like, Denver can get some spacing out of this look. And that's the most important thing with that group, as they just get some spacing. 40.8% from three from Justin Holiday on the season, 29.7% from Julian Strother, and then Reggie, 36.7%. A little bit down, but like, he's also had a couple of nice moments too that get him back up. I thought that Zeke was the worst of the group when it comes to what actually was happening. He was getting sort of dominated on the glass at times by Clint Capella, who had five offensive rebounds. A couple of them were against Jokic, but I think three of them were against Zeke Nnaji. And there were a couple times where Zeke, like, he had an opportunity to finish around the rim. That was the only shot that he missed. But he did make a three. So, hey, credit to him and some of the defense that he did play. And he did grab five defensive rebounds in 14 minutes, so I don't want to overstate that. But look, good opportunity for Zeke Nnaji to get back out there in 14 minutes. And DeAndre Jordan didn't need to play. I mentioned this after the Clippers game. I really do think that Zeke Nnaji is the guy that they should go with for the playoffs. I don't trust DeAndre to move. I think that Zeke can at least move and be athletic and be physical and switch a little bit. Do either of them play in a playoff series? Probably not. But if I had to pick one, I'm probably picking Zeke, at least at this stage. And then final thing here, Jay Huff. of all the names that you thought I was going to bring up, Jay Huff. Great for him. Great performance from Jay Huff in his garbage time minutes. 4 points, one block. One of them was a nice fillet onto the glass and hit a nice little layup. But then he had the fake DHO dunk, which was really nice. Really impressive Jay Huff sequence there, and it got the Nuggets bench just very hyped. It was really cool to watch. So good to see that from Jay Huff, who doesn't get a lot of opportunity to shine at all, but I don't know if he's an NBA player. I really don't. But hey, the times that he's been out there, he's been fun. It's been good to see it. All right, let's take another break. When we come back, we are going to chat about what Nuggets fans can look forward to with the schedule going forward in this final week of the season. I've got the T-Wolves, the Nuggets, and the Thunder schedules, and we're going to talk about who's going to get the one seed. All right, final segment here. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. I'm trying to shift this around here. Really good win for Denver. Really good stuff. Denver's now in sole position, at least at this moment, of the lead for the Western Conference. They are 54-24. If they win four more games, not only do they set a franchise record for wins in the regular season, but they will clinch the one seed. They, like, Minnesota can't do anything about it if Denver beats Minnesota and then Denver wins the other three games. Now, if Denver loses to Minnesota, then basically the one seed dream is dead. It's going to be really tough because not only does Minnesota have the tiebreaker, but they got a win in the win column. Denver gets a loss in the loss column, and Denver also kind of picks up the losing tiebreaker there. Denver would have to then overtake Minnesota, which is just not happening with the schedule that they have. Now, one thing that would help Denver and might give them the flexibility in one of the final games of the season is if Minnesota loses today to the Los Angeles Lakers. And you never thought you'd be rooting for the Lakers, did you? Never thought that that would be happening. Lo and behold, it is. Lo and behold, it is definitely happening. Lakers, T-Wolves tonight, 8 p.m. This is going to be one of those games that Nuggets fans want to follow. Because if Minnesota loses that one, Denver, it's not happening. Like, Minnesota will win it. And this is me jinxing it. But if Minnesota, let's say on the off chance, that if Minnesota loses that one, Denver's magic number right now for the four seed or for a top four seed is 4. But that only includes if they win against the T-Wolves. Denver's got to win that game. If they don't, they're going to be up a creek. It's just not going to happen. And that's going to be painful. But if the T-Wolves did lose the Lakers game and they lost the game to Denver, then the Nuggets would be able to clinch the one seed with one game remaining. So they go at San Antonio. If they were to win that one, then they could actually rest everybody at Memphis. That's a possibility for game 82. That would be good for Denver. That would be very, very good for Denver because they need a rest game. I think that because they have an opportunity to go get the one seed that they're going to try to go for it, I'm not sure if I agree with that choice. I think that the most important thing that Denver can do heading into the playoffs is get some rest. I think that they'll be able to do that within reason, especially with this back-to-back coming up. Wouldn't surprise me. Like, I think Jokic will play on the back-to-back. I think that Porter will play on the back-to-back. I wonder if Denver sits KCP at some point. I wonder if they sit Murray at some point in one of those games. And I hope they sit Reggie in one of those games. And I hope they sit Gordon in one of those games. Like I said in an earlier segment, I think that this game at Utah, Denver's got to find a way to win it without playing their full roster. Because they're going to need those guys for the Minnesota game in the back-to-back. That is a very, very, very important game. It's one that everybody should be circling and everybody should know. I guess I didn't really mention the records right now. Denver's 54-24. They have 4 games left. Minnesota's 53-24. They have 5 games left. So they can tie Denver in the loss column if both teams were to win out, but they can't both win out because they're playing each other. So that's going to help things. OKC is 52-25. Denver can effectively clinched a top 3 seed at this point. The Clippers, do they have the tiebreaker? I think that Denver still has the tiebreaker over the Clippers because of division record. Let me check the standings here real quick. Denver's 30-18 in conference. The Clippers are 29-19. Division winner is the tiebreaker that supersedes conference record. So, that's interesting. The Clippers will win their division because the Nuggets are battling with 3 teams at the top of the Northwest Division. So technically Denver has not clinched a top 3 seed, but they will with one more win. So Denver will basically be the top 3 seed along with Minnesota and OKC. OKC, for their part, they are 52-25. They have the next 5 games on their schedule. At Charlotte versus Sacramento, a back-to-back versus San Antonio, versus Milwaukee, and versus Dallas. Now, those first three games, even with the back-to-back versus San Antonio, there's no way that the Thunder should lose that. Like, that's just not going to happen. And then with regard to Milwaukee and Dallas, those will really, like, those are going to be impacted by where those teams are in the standings. It wouldn't surprise me if Dallas clinches a top, like, if they clinch a playoff spot in the final game of, like, before the final game of the season, they'll probably rest everybody. They're probably not going to do anything too crazy in that final game. Milwaukee, they have a couple games up. They're still a couple games up on Cleveland somehow for the 2 seed, despite the fact that they've lost 3 in a row and they're 4-6 in their last 10. I'm not really sure how that has worked, but Milwaukee is probably, like, they'll probably be a team that rests at that point as well. So Denver's not going to get any help. This is my takeaway. Denver's not going to get any help from any of the other teams in the standings, because if you look at the remaining games for the Timberwolves, at Lakers versus Washington, back-to-back at Denver versus Atlanta versus Phoenix, I think Phoenix will have their spot clinched by the time that pops up as well. Like, they'll be a top 6 seed along with Dallas. And if that's the case, then Denver's just not going to get any help from these other teams. So they have to do it themselves. They're going to have to be diligent. They can't just drop this upcoming Utah game. They obviously have to win the back-to-back versus Minnesota. But at San Antonio, at Memphis, like, those are trap games, especially at San Antonio. Memphis, like, it'll be very clear how much that one matters. But if Denver, if they take care of business, they'll be okay. I do think that it's going to be really fascinating to see what pops up for all three of those teams. But right now, the Nuggets in the, if they finish in a top 2 seed, they will face one of the following 4 teams in the first round: New Orleans, the Lakers, the Kings, or the Warriors. I think if you're a Nuggets fan, you feel okay about that. I think you'd be a little bit more worried facing Dallas. You'd be a little bit more worried facing Phoenix. Not that any of the matchups are really good, but the ones that are currently in the play-in right now, between the Pelicans, the Lakers, the Kings, and the Warriors, I think Nuggets fans will feel okay about. So what that says to me is that it's important for Denver to finish in the top 2. They don't necessarily have to finish 1, but if they finish top 2, they'll be okay, which means that they have to outpace OKC. Denver can't be in a tie with OKC because OKC is a tiebreaker. So that is something that I will be watching. If I'm Denver, I'm definitely okay with facing any of those teams in the play-in. Doesn't matter who it is. But you can't face, and you can, but like facing the Suns or the Mavericks in the first round, you just don't have to deal with that. It just seems like a lot. So, look, going to be fun, going to be interesting to track. I'm very curious to see how it goes. If you see the roommate's cat down there. He's been laying at my feet for the entire time. I assume that he's about to get up and try to get to the door and start meowing or scratching, but it'll be good. now just grooming himself, just big chilling. But folks, I think that is going to do it for this episode of Pickaxe and Roll. Thank you so much for hopping in. Thank you so much for tuning in. Cedric, did you just ask why this cat likes me? It's because I treat him well. It's because I play with him and, like, he enjoys me, despite the fact that I talk shit about him all the time. Like, he will definitely be a nuisance, but it's okay. it is all good. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning into the show. Really appreciate all the love and support on the podcast, as always. If you're watching on Twitter, thank you so much. If you are watching on YouTube, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button down below. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. Really appreciate it. Thank you, everybody, for stopping by. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow with Swipe.